My guest today is Zachary King. He has an amazing testimony to share with you and me. He began practicing magic at age 10 and joined a satanic coven at age 13. He's here to tell us the rest of the story. Zachary, welcome to True News.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Zachary,
great to be here.
Yes, sir. When you say you were practicing magic at age 10, does that mean you were just doing magic tricks, or were you practicing black magic?
Black magic. The difference in the spelling, magic tricks with like Doug Henning or illusion, things like that, is ends in IC. Magic that is satanic ends in ICK. Aleister Crowley actually made the distinction. And since he did that, it's like everybody in the know of satanic magic knows that, you know, if you see it in a C, it's harmless. If you see it in a K, run.
All right. So how were you introduced to black magic at the tender age of 10?
Well, I was this kid that loved fantasy movies and even movies about witchcraft or Satanism. They all seemed fascinating to me. And, you know, when I was talking to like me and my dad would be sitting there watching creature feature, double feature on Saturday, and you would see these spooky movies from the 60s or 70s, and it would show Satanists performing magic, but, you know, it was all scary and spooky and just creepy. And I would ask my dad, can people really do magic? And he said, no, that's fake. That's not a real thing. That it's just a movie. It's just made up. You know, now my dad was a Baptist, and if he was a good, solid Baptist, he'd have read his Bible and know that there's 8 places in the Bible that warn you against doing magic. But, you know, he was Baptist in name only, pretty much, like a lot of Christians are.
But the Bible didn't tell you not to watch movies about magic, and so therefore a lot of people justify watching movies that have occult themes in them, which I think is very dangerous.
Right. It is extremely dangerous. You know, but one of the dangers of watching movies like that is proven by my life, because I watched that movie and got fascinated by it and wanted to do it, especially since there's no danger involved because it's not supposed to be real. So at 10 years old, I was playing a game called Dungeons & Dragons. It had only been out for a couple of years, and all the older teenagers played it. And, you know, at that time, it was a game based in fantasy and in math. And I was a nerdy, little geeky kid and excelled in math and thought a game based on that would be awesome. And so we would do campaigns every weekend, and I was always a wizard or a sorcerer because I thought that would be the most fun. And you get so that eventually you dress like your character and you try your best to make these spells happen. Well, back then, the spells in the D&D books were authentic witchcraft spells. They don't have that anymore. So, you know, people play now and they're like, well, I don't play that way at all. Well, you don't. Now you have a 20-sided die. And if you want light, you roll a die. And if you roll a 15 or higher, you got light. Back when I did these spells, it was, you know, you're going to do 25 steps. And all of these steps are involved in a real magic spell to get your light. You still roll the die to see if you got it, but, you know, you have to do the magic spell to go along with it. So I was doing that, and there was a game at school, which is really a spell, but a game at school called Bloody Mary, or I Hate You, Bloody Mary. And we would go into the bathroom, all the kids, boys and girls, would go into a bathroom, face the mirror, turn off the light, and chant I Hate You, Bloody Mary over and over again. And sometimes you would see a scary face in the mirror, sometimes you wouldn't see anything. Every time I played with my group, we always saw the scary face. And kids would, like, in panic, bolt out of the bathroom. And I would just stay there and look. It wouldn't communicate. It wouldn't say anything or do anything. It wasn't a happy face, but it wasn't sad. And it was kind of scary, but I didn't interpret how it looked with being the bad guy. I mean, bulldogs are ugly, but that doesn't mean they're mean. You know, so they can't help the face they have. God gave it to them. So, you know, I was just fascinated by things like that. And then I got super fascinated about, does magic really work? Could I really do a spell for real? You know, and hearing that it's fake. You know, then there wasn't, there's no, I don't want to be caught doing something that's fake and be made fun of. But I figured if it's not real, there's no danger to it.
Zachary, I was a young Christian and father at the time Dungeons and Dragons came out, and I warned a lot of kids to stay away from it. I warned a lot of parents not to let their children be involved in that game. You know, what I'm hearing from you is, you know, confirmation that that game was used by Satan to introduce a whole generation of children to the dark occult world. Today, 2015, kids are doing things at such a level I can't even comprehend what's happening now. I mean, what's the one game that, what is it, Charlie? Is that the one where they're summoning demons?
Yeah, it's a Charlie Challenge. They put a piece of paper down. You put two pencils down, like in the symbol of the cross, one on top of the other. At that point, you have four little squares, like inside of each one of the parts of the cross. So you do a yes and a yes catty-corner from each other, and a no catty-corner from each other. Then you summon these friendly spirit, Charlie, and you ask him a question. It's something like you welcome him there, and then you ask if he's there, and then you ask him yes or no questions, and the top pencil will spin if he's there, and it'll land on yes or no for your questions. Then at the end, you're supposed to thank him for coming, release him, and then take the pencils, I think, and break them apart and throw them in the trash. Yeah, and throw the piece of paper away.
How popular is this game today?
Oh, my gosh. It's less popular, I guess, at this point than it was 3 or 4 months ago. It was popular enough that Good Morning America hosted one of their morning shows they did, and they introduced the Charlie Challenge, the Ouija board, and I think a tarot deck. And they said that you should play these things with your kids and get your kids to ask whatever questions they would normally ask. And then this will open up a channel between you and your child so that you can now answer the question that they're trying to ask and find out why your child wants to know that. You know, and it would open up communication with you too.
So the national news media is encouraging parents to encourage their children to communicate with demons.
Right. But I don't know if they believe in what they're doing. If they're legitimately pushing this agenda forward, which I would guess probably so, but, you know, they present it from the point of view of, well, this doesn't really work, but it'll open up this channel between you and your child because your child is probably playing this game already, and now you could answer for them, you know, like they could be asking, like, am I going to marry some beautiful actress? You know, what's my future going to be? You know, and now as the parent, you can handle that question and tell them the proper, you know, answer or whatever. And it's just like you're telling them to play something that's intentionally demonic.
And children are being possessed by demons.
Right. If you go on YouTube, there's a fake video of Charlie Challenge where you don't learn that it's fake until the video ends, and then they admit that they set everything up through trickery. But when I watched that video, and that was probably 2 months ago or so, something like that, that had over 20 million hits on it.
20 million.
There's rock videos out there by famous people that don't have 20 million hits.
Well, Satan is a very famous person. Welcome back to True News. I'm talking with Zachary King, a former high wizard in the Satanic Church. He says he participated in many abortions by conducting satanic rituals inside the abortion clinics as the abortionists murdered the babies as a blood sacrifice to Satan. Here's the rest of my interview with Zachary King. So you got into the occult world at age 10. Then when did it intensify and how did it intensify?
Well, I was trying to think of what kind of magic spell could I do where no one gets hurt, but I still verify that magic really works. And I figured a money spell would be like the best thing. So I did a spell one night for money. And the next day I found a can of tennis balls with a $5 bill in it. And I thought, okay, well, I mean, we had a tennis tournament in town that day or that weekend, and somebody had to find that can. I just happened to find it. So that could be a coincidence. So the next week, I did it again. Did my spell on a Friday night. Saturday, I went out to play. Found a $10 bill on the road. Okay. Again, anybody could have found that. I just happened to. So it could be a coincidence. And I mean, $15 in 8 days. You know, this is 1976, so candy bars are 20 cents. Penny candy is a penny. Comic books are 20 cents. These are all three things that I loved as a child, all readily available to me now at $15. So I'm thinking I'm scoring big, but still could be a coincidence. So I upped the ante, and I did the spell for money in the bathroom at home, and I did it. I did the Bloody Mary chant, and when my demonic face showed up, I made sure that whatever was in that mirror knew that I was doing a spell for money. And the next day, I went out to play, and I was in this big parking lot, and I found something caught my eye, and I ran off, and I found it looked like Monopoly money wrapped up in a bunch of rubber bands. So I stuck that in my pocket and went home later, and then later that night, I discovered it again, so I'm hiding under the sheets with a flashlight in my mouth, seeing what I got. And a bunch of rubber bands, and when I took them all off, it looked like Monopoly money. I'd never seen it before because it was a $100 bill. And then when I unwrapped all of them, I had 10 $100 bills. And when you're 10 years old and you're worth $1,000, you absolutely know that not only is magic real, but you're going to do it every day for the rest of your life. And if you can get $1,000 doing a spell one time, by the time you're 15 years old, if you play your cards right, you're driving a Lamborghini, which never happened. But, you know, that was the fantasy at 10 years old. So I was convinced that this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. When I was 11 years old, I was super innocent. You know, we didn't have the internet back then. We didn't have smartphones and tablets. And if there was porn, it would be in a magazine, you know, behind the counter at the store, under the shelves. I mean, you couldn't even see that they had things like that. So I was unaware of anything sexual. And when I was 11 years old, I was sexually assaulted in the bathroom school by a female teacher. And she told me it was my fault. I wanted to do it. And that if I told anybody, I'm the one that would get in trouble for it, because I wanted all this to happen. And I didn't even have proper terminology for anything that happened. You know, like, I kind of knew based on slang what might have happened to me, and thinking that, well, okay, this is my fault, so I feel super guilty over it. So the only thing that gave me comfort and solace was to do magic. So I just dove further into that. And when I was 12, I met this kid that I played campaigns with, told me that there was another group that played D&D, but also thought magic was real. And I thought, well, you know, I got to meet these guys and see if, you know, what kind of group this is. Now, this group was a satanic coven, but I didn't know that. So I went to their house, and they've got this in-ground pool, huge barbecue pit. I love video games and pinball machines, and they had those. They had, like, every science fiction and fantasy movie ever made. You know, I was a big Star Wars and Star Trek fan, and they had those movies, plus they had posters up, and it was just like an incredible like boys and girls club. And it was just so much fun for me. You know, like at my house, if you're hungry, you can eat at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and you might get a snack during the day if you're lucky, but most likely you're not going to. And there it was just like, well, you know, you can eat whatever time you want, and you can have as much as you want. And you can have as many snacks during the day, or you can just snack the whole day. If we're going to come over and spend the weekend or spend the night and watch a movie, we'd be up all night. You know, we'd never go to bed. You know, at my house, I've got a 9 o'clock curfew during the week, and the weekend, 11 o'clock. You know, but there, it's like you'd never go to bed. You know, it was like just so much fun for me. And I was there for a few months when this one kid told me, he goes, you know, this is a satanic coven, right? And I was thinking, there's no way. This is nothing like the movies I watched from the 70s that had all the satanic stuff in it. This isn't scary at all. These people are nice. You know, they're not trying to kill me. And so I asked one of the adults, and he was like, yes, it is. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and he was like, would you like to be a member? I mean, you seem to be having a lot of fun. Would you like to stay here and actually be a member, be one of us? And I was like, sure, what do I have to do? And he goes, well, there's 13 steps, and you've done almost all of them. So you just have like a couple more to go. You know, and I was just like, okay, well, what do I have to do? So the remaining steps that I had left to do, because the beginning steps are like you have to lie to your parents. You have to take drugs. You have to smoke a cigarette. You have to drink some booze. It's stuff that on the surface you may not be sinning, possibly on some level, some of it. But then like, you know, you have to lie to your parents. Well, I mean, you're breaking a commandment there. They basically make you innocent as you can for a child, break all 10 commandments in some way. Then the final steps I had to do were I signed a document that said the blood of Jesus washes away all sin, but not mine. Jesus died for everybody, but not me. I denounce Christ. I denounce everything holy. I will never go to God even if I was able to. I don't have that possibility. I am basically selling my soul, which is impossible to do, but I didn't know that at 13. You're not the smartest tack then. I thought I was selling my soul, and you sign that in your own blood the night before in a ceremony, and then the next day, all your coven gathers around, and they baptize you in a really large baptismal vat of pig's blood and human urine, and they fully submerge you, pull you out. At that time, I was in a white robe, and that signifies that I'm innocent, but I'm losing my innocence. I go to another room, take a shower, come back out. I'm in a black robe. You sit on a chair and face the group, and they hand you a crucifix in a wheel. It's about 13 inches in circumference and in diameter. And they hand you this, and the crucifix is right side up. They read off the document that you signed the night before. And then when they finish that, you take the crucifix and spin it upside down, which is a symbol of human sacrifice, and you break the arms downward. And that signifies that you're denouncing Christ. And at the time that you do that, that symbol is the peace sign. Then they take your signed contract of selling your soul. They entwine that with this wheel. And then it gets locked away in a vault that I've never seen. And they say that your soul is tied to that and that Satan now owns your soul. And that, basically, that's it. You're officially now a Satanist. And I was a Satanist officially at 13 years old.
Wow. Zachary, how prevalent is this practice today in Western societies? Is this rare or is this common?
My cult was, my first cult was 120 members, and it was a really small area of the country. And, you know, when you go to a big city, usually a big city, well, my town had two covens in it, which is rare, actually, for a small town to have more than one. But to have, and both of them were big. You know, mine had 120. I'm not sure how many the other coven had. I saw them as kind of like, they were scary. They were, you know, my coven was a bunch of kids and a bunch of adults that seemed like they were all fun-loving. The other coven, it seemed like it was just filled with drug addicts and dirtbags. You know, and it was like people that you would avoid anyway. You know, even if you didn't know they were Satanists, you wouldn't hang out with these people unless you were the same type person. So, you know, I didn't really know a whole lot about them. But in across our country, if you go on, I think Google search, it's something like pagan.org or something like that. The name is similar to that. It will show you all of the registered pagan organizations in the United States. There's also one for the world. And you know, things you have to remember is that not everybody registers. You know, there's, I would say, not even half the people register, but there's thousands on this website. And you also, you have no idea how many of these, because a lot of them list what their membership is. We have to imagine that membership probably fluctuates. So some of them have, you know, 5 people or 10 people that they listed at the time they joined as members. Some say they have over 1,000 members. A lot of them have 600 or 700 members. And this is in every state.
Zenkri, with time constraints for the interview, I want to ask about your involvement with the abortion clinics. How did that come about and what happened?
Well, when I moved, I stayed with my first cult for about 6 years or 5 years, all the time that I was in high school. And when I was 14, I just turned 14, they had all the male members that were 12 to 15 had a sex party with a coven member that was over 18. And the purpose was to make her pregnant, and then we were going to abort her baby like 8 or 9 months later. And so really, I'm leaving a bunch of stuff out here, but basically that happened. And
how old were you at the time?
3 months before turning 15.
Okay.
And that was, there was an abortion doctor there, an abortion nurse. It was in a private farmhouse. And I got to tell you, for it being a private farmhouse, it was more sterile than a lot of abortion clinics have been in. And it was like the entire coven was there, and except none of the children were there, but all the adults. And, you know, the abortion took place as the magic practitioner in the room. You have to get your hands bloody. That's part of the ceremony. So if you're practicing the magic, you get your hands bloody, but it doesn't have to be with the baby's blood. It could be the mother's blood. The mother knew why she was there. She was a coven member. She voluntarily gave up her child for this. The abortion was performed, and before they got performed, I didn't know what an abortion was and had to ask questions. And my first question after all that was, is this legal? And they said as long as the baby was inside the woman, it was legal. If it came out, then, you know, somebody's going to get the baby, but, you know, it'll be allowed to live. But, you know, as you know, if you killed it outside of the woman, it would be illegal. You know, you'd go to prison for that. But inside, it's perfectly fine. So when I went to my next coven, that was the World Church of Satan, and I was in there for a year or so, and I got the position of high wizard, which is the person that commits all the magic of their cult, of their coven. So I wasn't the only high wizard. There's a few in there, anywhere from 1 to 10. So the magic spells, you're hired to, basically you're doing magic spells almost every day, and that's your job. And the worst spell that they need, the stronger spell that they need than the worst magic you have to do, the stronger magic you have to do. Obviously, if you're doing a satanic magic, you're doing black magic pretty much every day. And, you know, that could include a black mass. It could include something has to die. It just depends on what is required for the spell for you to, you know, what stops you have to pull out. You start to realize that if you kill something, that Satan will grant you even more favor. And since you can kill an animal, but he'd be happier with a person. And if you kill a person, there's a good chance you're going to go to prison. You know, you could die, you know, for that. You get the death penalty for that. But if you killed a little baby in the womb, that's legal. As long as everybody signs off that they're there for this reason. And you know, that the woman that's there is in the coven. She could be a breeder. And a breeder is common within the satanic world. A breeder just has babies constantly. She just constantly gets pregnant. She's pregnant. Yeah, every 9 months, she's pregnant.
Are you saying that the abortion industry basically was created and sustained to supply a constant flow of legal sacrifices?
I do not know if that's the original intent. I know that we have a CD set coming out called Abortion as a Satanic Sacrifice. And we trace abortion, you know, we only go back as far as Margaret Sanger. And because she started Planned Parenthood. And we do a lot of quotes from her. I mean, this was one racist woman. And she was against, like, anybody that wasn't white. You know, she was totally against the mission, even against religion itself. You know, like, that dulled people's minds so that, you know, it calls certain religions reckless breeders, said that, you know, all black people and poor people should be sterilized. And then they started Planned Parenthood, and the majority of those all go in poor, impoverished neighborhoods. So it's like they're trying to wipe out, you know, the underclass.
Margaret Sanger is the mother of eugenics. But going back to the abortion industry, are a lot of abortions performed by Satanists?
Yes, there are a lot of abortion doctors that are Satanists. There's a lot of abortion nurses. There's a lot of administrative people, or the head of a lot of abortion clinics are Satanists, or they are Wiccans are also involved, which is a really odd thing because Wiccans claim, they allege that they only do white or light magic, which the Bible makes no distinction between the two, but, you know, they allege that they're only in this for life. And so if they're in it for life, then they wouldn't be associated with an abortion clinic. But at least twice, Wiccans have come out and made statements to the press that abortion is a woman's sacrament. And it's like a holy right to kill her unborn baby.
Zachary, how many abortions did you personally participate in?
146.
146 abortions?
Yes, sir.
And what were you doing in those procedures?
Generally, my part is I'm there to I'm the magic practitioner of the spell that's going to take place. So we're aborting a baby to get whatever the desired effects are of the person that hired me. My actual portion is that I generally have a scalpel in my hand, and I use my method. I used this method from when I was a child. I didn't actually never watched anyone else do my role, so I didn't know if it was a proper way to do it. But basically insert both of my hands into the female with the scalpel in between my hands, and I would get blood on my hands. Now, the first time I tried it, I did it with the intent to stab the baby and get blood on my hands that way. But I had no idea if I actually, that's what I was doing or not, and I didn't want to hurt the woman, so I just pulled my hands out, and I had blood all over them because, you know, well, the woman was bleeding. So, you know, I got my blood from that. And then it was explained to me after the first one that it doesn't matter where the blood comes from as long as I get blood on my hands.
You were there as a satanic priest carrying out a satanic ritual on behalf of somebody else. But that ritual, in order for it to be effective, required the murder of a baby. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So somebody, whether you say hired you or commissioned you to do something where they needed Satan's blessings in a particular area of their life, and it required the sacrifice of a human child.
Right.
And did the mother know this was taking place?
Yes, the mother, in as far as I know, every case I ever did, the mother was part of our satanic coven.
So they were willingly offering their child to Satan?
Well, they also know that if they are offering their child to Satan, since it's a satanic sacrifice on many levels, you know, like the person that got us all in the same room probably had to pay something pretty healthy to get everybody there. So they're, you know, that's their role. That woman is sacrificing her own baby, so she gets credit for that as well. So, you know, she could be, you know, she carried a baby for X number of months, and now we're killing it in a satanic sacrifice. She's getting something out of that. You know, she's not just being paid by the person that needed it done. Satan's going to grant her something.
I'm really, really close on time. Do you suspect that in abortion clinics there are actual satanic ceremonies going on? I mean, you're talking about downtown, you know, clinics in the downtown areas of of many cities. Do you think that there are satanic rituals taking place during the murder of the children?
I think that I wouldn't say that every single abortion clinic is like that, but I would say that a lot of them are. I mean, if you think of anything that where if a person really likes something, it attracts them to that type of job. I mean, a man that loves pornography is going to love a job where he has access to pornography all the time.
Zachary, we're learning a lot right now about how Planned Parenthood is selling the organs and parts of these babies. Are organs of aborted children also being used later in satanic rituals?
Well, to me, the most atrocious thing that they do is that they kill the baby. So anything after that is less atrocious. I don't necessarily think that, you know, people are so outraged over them selling body parts, but it's like, well, what are they selling the body part of?
You had to murder a baby to get the parts.
Right.
Are they drinking the blood of the aborted baby?
And some ceremonies require you to do that. And some don't. I mean, it's just, it depends on the ceremony they're doing. But yes, that does happen. You know, I think that not all the scandals that they're involved in have come out.
Okay, last question. Typically, what type of request to Satan requires a satanic priest to murder a child? At what level does something have to be elevated to require that type of ceremony?
When I did my first one, you know, at 14 years old, it was like the mayor or a councilman, something like, I thought all this time it was the mayor, but somebody told me that it was somebody different. But he wanted to pass something, some ordinance in the town, and he had tried it X number of times, and it never went through. So he found out about this kind of spell, and this is what he wanted. I've had people that wanted to do a takeover of an airline company. Like, they already owned a huge airline company, and they wanted to take over a smaller one. And they just couldn't buy it. It was like, they're blocked at every avenue. We did this spell so that they could take over that airline company. Somebody else wanted a divorce. They couldn't get the divorce. She wouldn't grant it. So we did this, and she granted the divorce. It could be whatever. You know, I used to work at a company that said customer service is whatever the customer thinks it is. That spell, although it's the worst one in a Satanist arsenal, it's the top dog of a spell. It is, you know, it's the atomic bomb of your pistol collection. People are at different stages of desperation, you know, for what they're willing to do. You know, a lot of people, you know, a shot in the arm would be fine, but instead they want full surgery. You know, so it just depends on what level the person's at as to what they're willing to pay for.
Zachary, I appreciate you being here today. I wish